Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and happy Wednesday here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Today on the show, we've got John Martin coming up in the next segment. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock and Sam Hardiman after that. So we got a busy day on the show, Jeffrey. Although I got to tell you, these 5-day work weeks are for the birds, man. It's tough, isn't it? It's really, this is tough.
And this is, we're hardworking men, you know? People that are, they're like laying tile in us.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is roofers. Roofers in the summer and us. When you've got to show up every single day, this is tough. We haven't done this for a while. So this is tough duty. And it's why I guess this is hump day. You know, when you actually work a 5-day week, you come to appreciate hump day. So it is hump day here in the middle of July, I guess, whatever, early hump middle day. Of July. And we have a busy show for you. We'll talk about the Grizzlies here because, listen, why not in a moment? But before I did that, Jeffrey, yesterday we talked about the Athletics rivalry ranking.
Yep.
And we have a whole lot to talk about. The Big 12 media days are going on. Penny Hardaway and was talking last night at Brookhaven as the as Memphis coaches continue to get out there in the community in a spectacular way.
The Tiger Tour?
Yeah, Tiger Tour. Tiger Tour. Sure.
I think there's an adjective in there.
No, there's a name. There's a name. There's a name. I'm not on the tip of my tongue. We also had the quarterback. Did you watch any of the quarterbacks?
So I've watched episode one. I'm very locked in. I'm very excited, but Aaliyah has to go out of town today. And so, like, I was ready to just start episode two, but because she actually likes it and it's so hard to find something
that's sweet.
Yeah. I'm
you're going to wait. That's beautiful.
I'm not going to call myself a hero, if you want to throw that out there, I'm fine with that.
So anyway, we have a lot to get to, a whole lot to get to in the show. And I don't know that we're going to get to it all. Honestly, I also saw some numbers on the business of youth sports, which is absolutely staggering. And you'll be glad to know, Jeffrey, because this is one of your favorite topics, that private equity is now
great. Glad to see them getting their hands in it.
Going to be getting and making everything better in the world of youth sports. So we may get to that as well. But yesterday we were talking about the rivalries and the ranking, the rivalries, and the Athletic did it. And of course you have quibbles with the list. That's the point of a list. Let's be honest, to have people think about it, talk about it, and argue about it. But
top 25 athletes of this century.
In the course of this, I did then get an email suggesting that Memphis and Ole Miss should have, like we were talking about. Well, Memphis was not on the list of the top 100 rivalries, and there was really no obvious. You know, there was no obvious once upon a time. Don't you think it would have been 10 years ago, 8 years ago, let's say 8 years ago. If this had been done 8 years ago, don't you think Memphis UCF might have made it?
I think there's a chance that that one would have been on the top 100, especially considering there were so many rivalries that I sat there and go, that's not a rivalry. Yeah, I think that would have that.
And this one, they played for championships. Yeah. They're the two. Yeah, I think, and some electric games between the two of them. So I think it probably would have made it. But anyway, someone suggested Memphis Ole Miss, and I can't go with you there because A, they don't play. You know, I mean, they play only very sporadically. And, but I'll say this, as I looked into it, again, I still wouldn't have put it on the list. And listen, Ole Miss fans would say it's not a rivalry. It's the same thing with Tennessee and Vandy and whatever else. It is interesting, though. What do you think their record is? Yeah, I'll tell you how many times they've played. Don't look it up. Ready?
All right.
Here's how many times they've played. 7, 2, 7, 5, 8. They played 61 times.
Is that right?
They played 61 times. Yeah.
Man, I thought it was closer to like 50.
Played 61 times. And by the way, I mean, it has some, there have been some very important games in
sure.
here. And
hey, until Lane got there, two of Ole Miss's best seasons in the modern football era, Memphis beat them both times.
Began in 1921. According to Wikipedia, it's called the Mid-South Rivalry.
Of course.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, of course.
Didn't Wikipedia never airs. Anyway, that 61 times they've played. And I'll tell you this, I'm just going to give this to you. Two of them are ties. Okay? So I'm going to take that out. Two of them are ties. So of the 59 times they played, what's the record?
So I had a number in my head, and you threw out 61, so that was more than I thought. I was going to say like 13.
Wait, Memphis is 113? Is
yeah.
that what you're saying? Of the 60, so 59 games that were not a tie,
yeah.
Memphis has 113. Very good, Jeffrey. Memphis is 112. It's 47-12-2. 47-12-2. So very clearly it's one-sided, right? But when you win one out of six, that's what it is. Comes down to one out of six. When you win one out of six, is that credible? What do you think Vandy and Tennessee is?
Ooh. Now, Vandy's probably going to have, like, I bet Vandy probably
From early
yeah.
years?
Yeah, I bet Vandy probably racked up some early ones, but I would think Vandy's, I would not think one out of six. I would think, if at best, one out of 10. All right, I'm looking it up for you.
No, much better. It's much better for Vandy because they got a lot of early ones, 79-32.
Yeah. Yeah, because
79-32. Vanderbilt dominated. They didn't pick off a few early ones. They dominated they won 18 of the first 22.
Yeah, that sounds
they
about
won,
right.
They won 18 of the first 22, and then Nealon was hired in 1926, and that is
That's
it,
General Nealon to you.
Including 22 consecutive wins between 1983 and 2004. So there you go. So anyway, Memphis, it was suggested to me by someone that should be on there, and Memphis and Ole Miss should be on there, and I don't agree. I don't think it should make. They got very thin at the end, but I don't think you can say it belonged. Yeah. Memphis did make the second list, though, that they put together at The Athletic, and this is
yeah,
the best.
Yeah, I saw this one. The best names,
rivalry names,
best names.
Now, if you put aside, and not only is it in the top 20, it's number three. If you put aside how ridiculous it is, and no one takes the game seriously, but let's pretend. You're just judging the name.
Right.
Okay?
And I think that's Chris Vanini,
yes,
sorry.
It's Chris Vanini did this list. And you're only judging the name. Period. Battle for the Bones is pretty damn good.
We kind of talked about this yesterday. The name is better than the game.
So much better. But if that name were attached to a game of deep hate and significance, I mean, two barbecue towns
absolutely.
It's really would be super high. I mean, I don't think it's inappropriate. Now, let me ask you. Here's some of the other ones that are on the. Here are the other ones that are toward the top of the list. Well, the number one. What do you think?
So
Brawl of the Wild, Montana versus Montana State. Never heard of it, honestly.
I was going to say,
we're just judging the name.
The problem was he. because I read this yesterday. There were, I would consider myself a decent trivia person, and I would consider myself a decent college football historian. I hadn't heard about a half of these.
Well, that's not the point. The point isn't.
Brawl of the Wild is good. I would say Brawl of the Wild's good. I did not
just judging the quality of the name,
correct.
Not
but
anything
I also
else.
Think this was appropriate because I had not heard of it, and when I saw that that was number one, I kind of gave a shrug. I'm like, it's good, but like, is it number one good?
I don't think it's number one good. No, I don't think it's number one good. Honestly, I think Battle of the Bones.
Well, you know what I thought was underrated?
You know what? Farmageddon.
Yep.
I think it's a phenomenal name. Clearly, Kansas State, Iowa State,
it's a phenomenal
number
name.
Eight. I think that should
it's
be number one
word too.
It's one word that gets it. Oh yeah, Battle for the Bones is two. Brawl of the Wild is
yeah.
Battle for the Bones is four. What am I doing? Battle for the Bones. Yes, but I was going Battle of the Bones is two. But yeah, that's four.
Well, if you say Southern, it could be like one word.
You got in one word, Farmageddon.
It's awesome.
The best. It's the clear winner.
It's fantastic.
Okay, let me ask you this. How do you feel about the Egg Bowl? It was 12.
I feel like that's about right. You know what I mean?
Isn't it a good name? I'll be honest. I don't think it's a great name. And because
I will say this. It is a good name in the sense of I say Egg Bowl, you know what I mean.
Well, that's true. But we're really just judging. Here's the question.
So it's a better brand maybe than it is a name.
I know that they gave it because the people were fighting. And
correct,
so they
in
came
the 20s.
Up with this golden egg.
Of course.
Whatever.
Well, it was a football, technically.
Is that what it is? And so there's
it
nothing,
is technically
not
a football, but because of the – A, it was the 20s, so the shape of the football was different than it is now. But it does – I mean, it looks like an egg.
Okay. That's any football then. Is Lombardi Trophy bound for the egg also?
Well, no, the Lombardi Trophy, involved? I think it has laces on it. The other thing is the original football looked more like a rugby ball. So, like, it's in the...
I guess it mattered. This would matter to me if these were two giant poultry states. If it's just the shape of the football that gives you... I don't think egg conveys anything.
Mississippi's pretty... I don't know if you're familiar. There's a lot of farming down there.
There are a lot of farming, but do you think... I don't think...
I mean,
poultry,
I don't think
most
chickens.
Poultry number one.
I
think it's a fine name. I don't think it's as good as number 13, which is the Coal Bowl, which is rhymes among other things. That's Indiana, Pennsylvania versus California.
Of course,
Pennsylvania.
Of course.
Coal Bowl. Seafaring Scuffle is stupid. That's 14. When you have to work that hard at it, Seafaring Scuffle. That's the U.S. Merchant Marine.
That feels like a musical
America.
Number.
Stupid. Exactly right. That's stupid. Let me ask you how you feel about first of all, how do you feel about the world's largest outdoor cocktail party?
I like it. I mean, I get it. They had to get away from it after they played it at, there was a night game one year and somebody got so drunk they died, so they had to kind of rebrand. But like, it doesn't roll off the tongue, but I do also think it's like that's kind of what it is. Like, I think about Jacksonville, I think about drunk people.
Okay, how about this one? I'm just as a principal, as a name for a rivalry.
Sure.
Third Saturday in October.
So.
I don't
mind it. The problem that I had with it is they stopped playing it on the third Saturday in October. Like, my thing is you kind of back yourself into a corner
cool,
with that one.
It does score to limit you. It's kind of cool because it's not some rhyming pun or something.
Right.
It's just you like it for its different.
Alabama
it's
and
different.
Tennessee meet on the third Saturday in October next on CBS. Or next,
I'll tell you one I really like that's very low is the Granite Bowl, New Hampshire versus Dartmouth. I mean, that conjures something.
The Granite State?
Yeah, I mean, it's these two rocky outposts.
Okay.
You're a New Englander like
at heart.
I am a New Englander at heart. Okay, here we go, real quick. Border, you can comment on as they fly by,
right,
if they're over or underrated.
Right.
The Border War, that's Kansas versus Missouri. Backyard Brawl, Pitt.
But I love Backyard Brawl because those two schools do not like each other. Like, that's an when we were talking about yesterday, underrated rivalries, Pitt West Virginia is underrated to me because there's like true hatred there.
The real HU, Howard versus Hampton, Granite Bowl, New Hampshire versus Dartmouth. Third Saturday in October, we discuss Civil War, Oregon versus Oregon.
Conflict,
State.
Please, Jeff.
Is that what they call it now?
Yeah.
Oh, stupid.
That's your team, not mine.
The Boombox Classic, Southern versus Jackson State.
I do love that Rockies. One.
I like the Soul Bowl better, if we're talking about HBCUs. We'll get to that one, by the way. Rumble in the Rockies, Colorado. Never. That's stupid. I don't like that.
Nobody knows that.
Versus Utah. Nobody knows it, and it's just dumb. Honestly, dumb. Red River Shootout. Now Showdown.
Showdown,
so
please, of course.
Disqualified. Clean old-fashioned hate, Georgia versus Georgia Tech. 100 miles of hate, that's Middle Tennessee versus Western Kentucky. We mentioned the Seafaring Scuffle, the Coal Bowl, the Egg Bowl. The Moonshine Throwdown, Marshall versus Western Kentucky. No,
I kinda,
not a fan.
I kind of like that,
like
though.
It's like Moonshine Throwdown.
Yeah, it's like, what are two places that you think of as moonshine?
Well, if you think think about two old dudes who are drunk, rolling up their sleeves,
yeah.
and
you want to go?
Each other. I can see that. Soul Bowl is 10. That's Jackson State and
you like rhyming,
State, of course. The biggest, if it's good, yeah. The biggest little game in America. That's Amherst versus Williams. I kind of like that. It's humble. Farmageddon, though, I think you and I agree, should be number one.
Absolutely.
Criminally underrated. It's at number 8.
Tremendous.
Deeper
name.
Than hate is App State versus Georgia Southern, the world's largest.
Okay.
Iron Bowl, Holy War. Battle of the Bones, Bedlam.
I love Holy War. I love the Holy War.
You love the Holy
War. I love the game. I love the name. I love everything about it. The two schools don't like each other. There's something about watching the Mormons, who are historically like some of the nicest people, watching them just like truly get like blood and red in the face. Like, I love it.
All right. Enough of that.
Well, there's one that it's more of an internet age one, and you kind of have to. You kind of have to know. So El Clasico is Real Madrid versus Barcelona, like two of the premier European soccer teams that play like a beautiful game.
Don't think I know that?
Well,
you don't think I know
that? Of course.
That,
I was explaining for the audience, not you.
Thank you.
The internet started calling Iowa State, which was always been a gross, disgusting game, El Asico. Right. And I think that is a phenomenal name.
That's clever. I love the internet. Internet's so clever.
This was a simpler time. This was back when the internet was fun.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So I will ask you, do we think we can say for sure? I mean, it's pretty well settled now that Zach Kleiman has hit again on a second round draft pick. Deep into the second, really deep into the second round, as they found their next Tony Allen Jemima Mashak.
Well, did Zach hit or did the Warriors hit?
No, because it was plucked away. Like, no. It's Zach hit because Desmond Bain wasn't drafted with the Grizzlies pick. That was a Zach hit. Brandon Clark wasn't grasped. Mm-hmm. That was a Zach hit. And so here you go. The dude, you know what happens? He becomes a Grizzly and all of a sudden he flowers. If you're a second round pick, you should only hope to be drafted by Zach Kleiman. As all second round picks should still call him King Kleiman.
If Jemai's going to hit 75% of his threes, I think that's probably fair. I think he hit.
The dude at Tennessee.
Yep.
Now he hit a big three, but he never in a single game.
He has Tennessee. One of the most memorable shots of the season.
One of the most memorable, but he never, ever, ever hit more than two threes in a game at Tennessee. And here he becomes a Grizzly. He becomes a second round pick of the Grizzlies. And every college basketball player should be so lucky. It's like young girls used to dream of growing up to be Cinderella. You should dream of growing up to be the second round pick of the Memphis Grizzlies. Because stardom, or role player stardom at least.
There's more of a chance to go myself, but go ahead.
Stardom awaits. The dude, 13 points, 3 of 4 from 3, including consecutive three-pointers. Bango! Bango! Mash that button. I don't know. We got to come up with something, right? Like, he is going to be raining threes.
Maybe ring it up and put 3 on the board.
It's possible that I'm getting slightly ahead of myself, but I've seen the future.
Just put an egg on it.
Put an egg on it. This was a game that you had to be a true degenerate to watch.
I was appreciative because I don't know.
I appreciated the night off. Yes, I only read the report.
Well, no, I only
Drew Hill's out there. I'll get to Drew Hill more about Drew Hill in a moment. I only read the stories.
I moved it to TV2 because I've gotten to the point, like, Jeff, it's well documented. I have a standard for television, and particularly sports on television. The Utah Summer League did not meet my standard.
We all have to have a line.
Right.
We all have to have a line. No said Coward, of course. No Javon Small. No Jalen.
Nothing Wells. Fun. There was nothing fun about last night except
no
like the last
Jackson. No Cam
five
Spencer.
Minutes.
No Zion Pullen. Like, there's nothing. And plus all that, and the Grizzlies lost. Hell.
Just going to leave him Rondo Baycott on the bench, too?
No, Landers Nolly, for God's
sake.
Yeah,
sakes, it's true.
For the Sixers.
By the way, the Sixers also have somebody on their Summer League roster that his name is St. Thomas. I love that.
That's good. That's very good. I'll grant you that. So anyway, and now they're off to Las Vegas. On to Las Vegas. But it was nice to see the guy hitting threes. He said he could. He told us he could.
Yeah, no.
He's like, again, another one.
I am who I am.
When Zach Kleiman says something, believe him.
Yes.
And it turns out when that Mr. Mashak says something.
I did have one concern. And so since you just read the reports, there was a play in the second half.
You're going to have to fill me in.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a play in the second half where the Grizzlies turned it over, which I hope everybody was sitting down for that. And Jemai was like, even with the, it was like he was with the, I think the point guard ends up with the ball and he just ran away from him like Tyreek would run away from a defense. That was a little concerning to me. It's like, I didn't realize he was slow. Very concerning.
He also didn't realize he could shoot like that.
Well, that's a fair point. I think I'd rather take.
God's giveth the basketball. He's slow? How can he be that good?
I don't know. It was alarming. I was like, did he pull a hammy? Like, I didn't know what happened.
Something to watch. Something to look out for. Anyway, the Grizzlies lose. That one. Really interesting piece, and I would commend it to your attention, by Drew Hill in the Daily Memphian today. He sat down and he talked to Gigi Jackson. And it's interesting. Like, Gigi immediately threw himself on the sword. He admitted that he was whining. He admitted that he was, complaining. He admitted that he has to mature, that he has to grow up, all of those things. And so I would ask you, Jeffrey, the fact I guess the fact that he says those things, does that mean that he is going to fix those things or not?
I'm in my parent era. Listen, you'd rather hear that than not. Like that to me, like, is like the first step. But I am very much in the prove it, young man.
I think he has
proven that he knows how to say the right things. I want to see him do the right things.
I think both of those things are true, by the way. So the piece starts with a really fascinating anecdote. He's playing for the Hustle, and he finds himself in Phoenix, where he runs into, in a gym of all people, Ty Jerome, who was there for some reason. The Cavs must have been there simultaneously, right? And so he runs into Ty Jerome. It's a funny story. He said, I don't even know what he was doing there, Jackson said. I guess he was in the gym before going to meet up with his teammates or something. Drew said,
what are you doing here?
About? Drew said, what'd you all talk about? He said, well, I was complaining to him. I was saying the same things I said to my coaches, wondering why I'm not getting on the court. And by the way, that's how you know that it was top of the mind. Like, he doesn't really know Ty Jerome particularly. He just ran into Ty Jerome. And how you doing, man? How you doing? Ah, man, I don't get no play. Like, let me tell you. You got how much time you got? They're screwing me over. And like, you can, like, when you just start offering that to anyone you bump into in the gym, you know that it was no surprise that we in the media, those of us in the media, heard it as well in the locker room. And so he starts with that story, and then he goes on to say all the right things. And I think you're right. It is not insignificant, and it is important that he say it, right?
Absolutely.
Because if he didn't say it, well, then the cause is lost. If he can't even acknowledge the criticism and what people are saying and at least rhetorically embrace it, then the cause is lost. And he does those things. He said it. He's saying it over and over again. He's acknowledging it. He throws himself on the sword. Like, he is in this piece. You can read it. I urge you to. He is very clear that he has to grow up. He contrasts himself with John Conchar, who is willing to do anything. And John Conchar, as a consequence, in the playoffs, he got real minutes.
Yeah.
Like,
played almost 20 minutes each game. Yeah.
As Gigi's sitting there stewing on the bench. So like, that's great. It's critical that you say the right things. And then the next step is doing the right things. And really, the test is not summer league, which we've said before. It's not just on the court. The test isn't summer league, because in summer league, you know what? You're playing.
Yep.
And that's
he's like one of the primary options. So yeah. Like, not only is he playing, he's playing, and he's like, it's how he wants to play.
The test is in game four, when you get a DNP coach's decision, what do you say then? Right. Or you get 4 minutes, or you get 7 minutes, or let's even say you get 11 minutes and they're good minutes and you hit some big shots and then you're taken out because it's time. It's just not you. That's not where you are in the rotation right now. How do you react?
And by the way, and then, hey, maybe you sit a couple games after that.
And then maybe you say, yeah, that's the test. I mean, the test is twofold. It's very clearly on the court. Can you guard? Can you contribute in ways other than putting the ball in the basket? But it's also how you comport yourself when things are going badly, because things will at different times go badly. You just can be certain of it. He's not high enough in the rotation to just be plugged in, work yourself through your issues, and we're going to ride you. That's not how it's going to work. But anyway, really revealing piece from Drew Hill, sat down and talked to Gigi Jackson. Has Gigi Jackson become the most interesting man in summer league? Or is there a limit to how interesting
are
he
we
can
saying,
be? Because
are we
he
saying
will be
from the Grizzlies?
Yeah, Grizz. Most Grizzly Grizz.
Yeah, I think that's fair simply because Cedric's not going to play.
And Jalen Wells is Jalen Wells.
Yeah, Jalen Wells is a starter.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. I think that's right. He's the most interesting guy in summer league.
Well, and also it's like, you look at it, it's like, okay, they're gonna have a shortage of front court minutes early, even though that's not his like natural position. Like, you are wondering, like, okay, is that an opportunity for him?
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna get to John Martin, and then we got Chris Harrington, and then we got Sam Hardiman. It is a busy day on the Jeff Calkins show. Before then, give me your brief review. I gathered like the headlines.
Yeah.
Were from The Quarterback, which dropped yesterday, the show on Netflix.
Jeff, it's like I'm going to be like Justin Timberlake in The Social Network. Drop the "the." It's just Quarterback.
A quarterback.
It's cleaner.
Thank you. Thank you so much. The Kirk Cousins, the headline was, we learned that he felt misled. And then somewhere in there, we also learned that Joe Burrow's not going to buy the Batmobile.
Episode 1, but that was definitely a headline.
That was a headline.
Yeah.
So,
we learned that Joe's trying to play the piano.
Who's trying to play the piano?
Joe Burrow's trying to play the piano.
Starting from scratch?
So, he said he had someone teach him the keys and then he was watching YouTube. So, not quite entirely self-taught, but
from scratch, but from 0 to 60.
Yeah, he
didn't take it in fourth grade. He's picking
correct.
Up again.
Correct. He's not Joey Harrington or who was our boy? We've
Jacob
had him on the
Karam.
Show. He's an attorney.
Wasn't Jacob Karam.
Karam. Yeah. I was going to say he's an attorney in Houston. He's certainly not Joey Harrington
or Jacob
Karam. Yes.
All right. So how was episode one?
Episode one is extremely good. I'm very fired up to keep watching. The only thing I dislike about Quarterback, Jeff, Kirk Cousins comes off as extremely likable.
Well, he did last time.
I keep wondering, everyone likes him.
Everyone likes him.
He's extremely likable.
What? Maybe the man is in fact extremely likable.
Maybe that's why he keeps getting paid. Like maybe he's gamed the system.
He's likable. I isn't it nice finding out that someone is likable?
Yeah, like he's
as opposed to finding someone out as a jerk.
Like you just find out, like, what does the guy do? He works really hard at football. He loves his wife and he loves his kids. Like that's it. That's Kirk Cousins.
Was there a good glimpse at the way it unfolded with Michael Penix and the drafting of Michael Penix?
So they're in the first episode, they're like laying the groundwork for all three guys of Goff, Burrow, and Cousins. They don't really tell it linearly, but basically what happens is Raheem Morris says all the things of why they took Kirk Cousins, and then it was like, well, but we also had to do right by the franchise. Like, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to be here. And he's like, if we had a quarterback, I wouldn't be here. So they don't really get into the Falcons side of how that decision came to be, but I mean, Kirk, I think, admits that the Vikings offered him like a 1-year deal. And he was like, I was looking for a little bit more stability, a little bit more commitment. But the Vikings were up front with him. We plan on taking a young quarterback in the draft. The Falcons did not. And so he's like, that would have maybe changed my position. And you can see, like, the Falcons last year were.
By the way, the Falcons were totally ripped for doing this, right? When it happened.
I do not feel that way.
But that was the general.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's like, what are they doing?
What are they doing? In the end, wasn't, like, given what we know about Kirk Cousins and about the potential of Michael Penix, weren't they, in fact, maybe they weren't smart to sign Cousins, but weren't they smart to do this? Like, wasn't, once you have Cousins and there's Michael Penix sitting there for you to draft, wasn't it, in fact, the smart decision to take Penix? Can't we say that now?
We never ripped the Packers for doing this.
Well, we kind of did. Lots of people did. Can't believe they didn't get him a receiver. Can't believe it.
But we didn't rip the Falcons. Or we don't rip the Packers like when they take Aaron Rodgers, when they took Jordan Love. Like what people said.
What they said about Jordan Love
was, we don't have a problem with you taking a quarterback there, but why this quarterback?
I think they were saying, whatever. I think they were saying, why didn't you get him a receiver? I guess
that was Rodgers.
My point is this. Weren't they right? Weren't they right? Can't we or does it depend on what Michael
Penix good. He had flashes, and I'm a believer in him, but like even as someone who believes in him.
We know that Cousins was bad.
Well, that's the thing. So you could say they were right if what hurt Cousins or what cost Cousins was the Achilles. What we're going to learn, because they've been hinting at it, the Achilles is not the injury that changed Kirk. Kirk was playing really well, and then he hurts his elbow, shoulder, and like his whole like right side of his arm. And then he like went from being like an outside MVP candidate to like getting benched. But the Falcons, because they were always manipulating the IR or the injury report, they would never admit to it. So what we're going to learn is that it was other injuries. Now, what you can say is, well, he's a quarterback in his late 30s. Of course, he's going to get hurt, and so therefore they're smart.
Yeah, I don't think you can say that. All right. Well, I look forward to the updates, and I'll start watching.
Good show.
At some point, and I will definitely drop the. We're going to come back, talk to John Martin. Penny Hardaway was out and about last night. He was over at Brookhaven. We'll talk to him about that and more. Before that, though, I will remind you that the semi-annual sale is underway at Oak Hall. People wait all year long for this. It is spring and summer merchandise. Merchandise throughout the store, tailored clothes, sports shirts, men's clothes, women's clothes, same stunning, beautiful clothes that have completely transformed my image from the worst dressed man in Memphis to someone who can look good when I want to. Now, they helped me. They salvaged even me. And now it is the semi-annual sale again. It is the time to get in there and stock up, for there's a lot of summer left. Summer here stretches clear into September, well into September. So there's a lot of summer left. This is the perfect time to get to Oak Hall for the best savings of the year. Semi-annual sale going on now. John Martin, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin, who has who's returned from a trip to our nation's capital. John, how are you? How is our nation's capital?
It's beautiful. It's big and beautiful, and we loved it. It was awesome to, you know, Charles Fishman picked us up from the airport, or as my daughter calls him, Mr. Fish.
That's Mr. Fish. That's great.
Yeah.
So, yep. so then he drove you by the monuments.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just kind of naturally on the way to where he lived. Because if people haven't been to D.C., it's essentially the size of Kaiser, Arkansas, right? I mean, you take one step out of your door, you're in Maryland, or one step out of the other direction, you're in Virginia. So you really can't get around it. I mean, it's just, you know, you go to the airport, you're going to see the monument. And it honestly felt, it was one of the highlights of the trip, weirdly enough, because it was at night. And so you see the river there and you see the Capitol lit up and you see the monument lit up and, you see the back of the Lincoln Memorial lit up. I mean, it was really like I was driving through a Netflix show. It was beautiful. I mean, Georgetown, we saw Georgetown. You know, all these places I've heard about and watched the basketball team play, and then you see it. So it was pretty damn cool to drive through the city at night and see all that.
Well, let's be honest. The other reason it was a highlight, and I say this as someone who has raised three boys, is your kids were contained and strapped into car seats at the time. And so you didn't actually have to be much dealing with them. Like, you could look out the window in peace, right? I mean, here's yeah. the one thing that when you plan this trip, how old are they? How old are your two?
Four and a half and one and a half.
Four and a half and one and a half. When you're going to Washington, D.C., with just the two of you and a 4.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old, I said to myself, John, what the hell are you doing? It's like, let's just stop for a moment, because we got all kinds of parents out there who are on all kinds of trips this summer. Can we not acknowledge between us that traveling with small children and trying to vacation with small children is, and Jeffrey could get in on this too, pure hell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, through about halfway of day two, I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, John, what the hell are you doing?
I'm not a fair representation, because we've really only traveled with her once, and my mother and my mother-in-law went, and it was a dream. And my daughter
was
actually...
Yeah, well, that's totally different. If you're bringing... Yeah,
totally agree.
Let's be honest. If you're bringing reinforcements, and then B, you're going to a place that is mostly a beach where you're just kind of hanging out and getting in the pool and stuff, that is very different than going to a
sightseeing.
Place where you are sightseeing and it is just you guys. Like, can 100%. You imagine?
And respectfully, one child versus two.
I'm not even pushing back at all. I'm saying mine was not a real, like, I'm not under any illusion. I will say my daughter was great in the car, like shockingly great in the car. But I'm also I never pretended like I wasn't just going to combat my daughter with screens. Like, we got her like
and John did some stupid things, with all due respect. Like he went to, well, like, where'd you go, John? You went to, what was the first museum you went to?
We went to the baseball game on the 4th, and then we went to the Spy Museum.
How is the Spy Museum with kids?
Well, you know, you're just constantly like, oh, God, stop screaming, you know. people are in here trying to learn about spies. then we went to the free natural history, the Smithsonian Natural History Museum, which, you know, that was a little less of an issue because it's free, and so it's already kind of crazy in there. But, you know, you just don't get a chance to appreciate any of it as a parent, because, like, you're constantly having to wheel your kid out of the room or out of the way.
The Spy Museum is, by the way, all the big museums in D.C. are free. Free, because they're paid for by federal taxpayers. So the zoo, quote unquote, free, because you and I pay for it. We all pay for it. Whereas the Spy Museum is kind of like a little bit of a, basically, it's a Disney museum. It's not really it's a sort of spy experience. And so that one you have to pay for. Great zoo, though, right? Great zoo.
I'll say this, though. You know, it was a great zoo, but I didn't go to it saying, damn, Memphis Zoo doesn't hold up to this.
No, Memphis is a magnificent zoo. One of the best.
Yeah,
best,
I mean, the only thing I wish Memphis Zoo had would be beer.
Like, Memphis Zoo doesn't have beer, and this zoo did have beer?
Yes, I don't believe. I mean, I've never been to the Memphis
Zoo.
That's not like a special event, right? It's not like Zubu or whatever they, you know, where they have like stands that serve alcohol. I don't believe that the zoo has that, and the DC Zoo did have that, which was expensive but needed.
Well, you know what else has beer, and I'm pretty confident of this? Brookhaven. I think Brookhaven has beer, and the Tigers were there last night, and Penny Hardaway spoke. It really is good the way they get out and they're in the summer, and it's become really good events, and you can worry all you want about Tigers attendance and everything else, whatnot, but these events show, I think, some of the continued enthusiasm for the programs in the city. But anyway, what we learned was Darryl Brown Jr., formerly of Germantown, not Georgetown. Got my thing mixed up, my G's mixed up there. Germantown graduate, played at Bradley, and then he was director of player development at Bradley. He will now be the director of player development at the University of Memphis. And then Penny said different things about the roster. He said the roster is done at this point, and we said we've got to get big, so we're going to keep looking. So maybe you can address those two developments for me, John.
Well, I mean, I'm a little worried about our guy, Simon Majak. Like, I mean, it sounded like he didn't have a date for him, like an arrival date.
Tell me, he's the mystery guy. Simon Majak is from South Sudan, the big. And Penny, in at least according to part of the story, no idea when he's showing up and no idea what kind of a player he is. They've seen a few highlights. They're going to assess him when he gets here. And they have a great developmental program. And so they're going to develop him into the best version of himself. What do you make of that mystery?
Well, the first part of the mystery is getting him here. As you know, we're having
It's getting tougher. It's getting tougher. Yeah.
So
particularly, you know, he's from South Sudan and, you know,
that's where we're.
It would be better if he were a white South African basketball player. If he were a white South African big man, I think they could. Although that's with a Musk thing, maybe not.
I know,
anymore,
given, right? I think maybe, yeah. Like,
with the schism, even a white South African big man couldn't get in.
I think you have to be British at this point to be free and clear. But
they got to recruit. Yeah. They got to recruit the English British leagues. Exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah. So I think Kentucky had a big man last year from Nottingham. So, you know, and he ended up getting drafted. So they're out there. Okay, they're out there. But I joke, but I don't. It might not be a joke. You know what I'm saying? Like it may be a thing that you know, in terms of his arrival and getting here and everything like that. That's going to be more complicated than it used to be. And then in terms of like if and when he does arrive, obviously, like I think Penny's kind of showing you his hand, right? Like he doesn't know when he's getting here. He doesn't seem to care really when he's getting here, you know?
He's showing you the hand, thereby indicating that he doesn't think much of him as a player, or thereby thinking he's totally desperate and will take anything.
He's taking a gamble on this guy, but he's not doing that expecting him to play, right? Like he's not doing that expecting him to be a contributor really in any way. I mean, I asked my college basketball people about this guy, and he was on some radars at some point of international scouts as a like redshirt candidate for a Power Five school is kind of how they saw him. And like if you really invest in him and develop him in 3 years, he may be really good. But I mean that's what we're talking about here, right? Like that. And honestly, Penny does not do that. Penny has no patience with these guys. If you come here and you don't contribute right away, he is throwing your ass out like Jazzy Jeff in Fresh Prince.
That's an interesting question. Is there anyone that Penny that arrived here at? I mean, we know that he has had, you know, we saw this with Dane Danger. Like, there's a guy who was his best version of himself. He came here. He'd been underappreciated. Penny worked with him, unleashed him, whatever. Like, at that level, he's very clearly been effective at utilizing and developing players. But in terms of the came here as a raw player who had to sit and then over 3 years, all of a sudden developed into a star, the sort of classic developmental track.
Nobody, never, ever has not happened. Not one time has it happened. Never. And it never will. Penny is
that's like, interesting. As a developmental guy, that's sort of the classic developmental track, right? Jeremiah once upon a time, you know?
Right. But like for Penny to even like look at you, you got to be good. You got to already have a pretty good baseline. Like you can't be remember Ian Granja? Remember him? He came over from Spain. You know?
Yeah, I remember him. Who could forget?
I think it's like the Tigers tracker with internationals is so it's non-existent. Sam Anu, now he was in America, but you know he had come to America from I don't remember exactly where, but that never got off the ground. Ian Granja, KO, you know, I think he was from Nigeria. He was here, but like all the foreign guys that Memphis has had you know, with the exception of Musa, basically, they don't end up doing anything here really at all. And so I just think, you know, the development process, like, Penny will take you from good to great. He will take you from great to even greater, but he will not take you from mediocre to good. He will not do it. He doesn't have the patience.
All right. So is he still searching for a big, or what is happening here?
You can search and you can look and you can try to find.
But there's nowhere to find. There's nothing to find.
Yeah, it's like we don't have copper mines in America, man. So you can keep looking for the copper in America, but you're not going to find it, right? It's not here. You're going to Peru. So I think that's just kind of what you're dealing with the Tigers here. Is like they caught a couple bad breaks. T.J. Haggerty should have taken the offer. Dane didn't get the year. They did get Aaron Bradshaw. He was a top five player in America. I will say this until I'm blue in the face. How many top five players out of high school have ever played here? Not many. Not many. So he joins a very, very exclusive list. So that's something to be very excited about. But Simon Majok is not.
Any thoughts on Darryl Brown Jr.?
Not really. I mean, player development guy. Things like Penny's, right. You know, Penny's late, okay. Any related thoughts on some way.
I personally like, I love the bringing Baylor in because it gives people an opportunity to remember the column that I wrote saying that Memphis should hire Scott Drew. And anytime we can bring that up again, that's a welcome moment for me. But obviously a good get to get a school like Baylor and a home game this year. Like so many of their best games are on the road this year. It was critical for them to get that at home, right?
If you had not written that column, Penny Hardaway maybe is never the coach here. So people need to thank you for that.
And people I wanted Bruce Pearl, in fairness. You know, he worked out okay too.
He did. So, but no, like Penny has shown himself to be elite at scheduling games. I mean, he really has. They can go show you the respect that he has when he calls these programs and these coaches and says he wants to get on the schedule. I think it shows the respect that Memphis still does have as a brand, because there's no reason for Baylor to play the game. Baylor, you know, is not even getting in any of the money reportedly in the first game, right? So there's no reason for Baylor to agree to do that unless they respect Memphis as a brand and as an opponent. And I think that's
Penny's more important than ever in the new environment. Penny's more important than
juice.
He ever has
been.
Were you, as you looked at the schedule last year, were you worried? It's great to be an elite scheduler, but were you at all worried, man, it could bite him in the ass? And it obviously turned out brilliantly. Are you now worried that this could bite him in the ass?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's a worse roster. I mean, it's a worse roster with a comparable schedule. And you're playing a lot of those games in a neutral site or road environment. So Memphis is probably going to get its head kicked in. That's the probability. But, you know, that's okay, honestly. Like, if all Memphis has to do is win a couple of them, they don't have to go 10-3 to they were 5 seed. That helped. But we're not talking about Memphis as a 5 seed this year, right? We're talking about Memphis making the tournament, getting a decent enough seed. I don't even care about the seed at this point. Like, but just making the tournament. So all you have to do, if we all agree and we all accept that that's the bar for Memphis this year, which is just make the tournament, all you have to do is win a couple of those, and it puts you on the national radar, puts you on the bubble.
Let me ask this then. I agree that's what we're talking about, right? But you talk about like, and I think it's fine, whatever, but you talk about it like it's okay, right? This is what they're doing. They're making the tournament. And like, you're not talking about that in some incredibly critical, my God, I can't believe the state of the program kind of a way. You're talking about it. That's what the realistic expectations are for this year. And there's sort of this, as you talk about it, it feels like, and that's okay. When you were talking about the Grizzlies last year, and they were at the time in second in the West or whatever, and there was very clear they were not, even then, that they were not like one of the elite teams. That was always from the perspective of this is not okay. Is it weird that we have come to accept that just making the tournament, like this program that started, we got to win, we got to, you know, go to Sweet 16s. Is it weird that we've ratcheted down? Maybe it's just good and common sense. I'm not even, I don't know how I feel about this, but is it weird that we talk about it and don't rage about it? That we're just saying, oh yeah, today's expectations are to make the tournament. And there's no condemnation attached to that statement.
Well, I'm not like, well, for example, I'm not going to condemn the Grizzlies if they just make the playoffs this year. I'm not going to condemn them if they're an eighth seed. You know,
yeah, but they were literally, yeah, but they fired their coach and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they, so no, they reset. They did. No, they have. They've reset. And they have. But they at the time when those when the conversations that you're referring to about the Grizzlies, like they were a two seed with their coach right. still at one point.
So you're saying you reset your expectations going into the year, and then you measure them according right. to those expectations.
When you ask me to reset my expectations in the middle of the year, like for no apparent reason. Like, that's where there is going to be some pushback.
Let me ask you this. So is it, Mike, the question was about is about the penny stuff. Is it okay that those are our expectations after what year are we in now?
Will this be year eight? Good God. No. Please can't. Oh, my God.
Seven?
It is. No, seven. Year seven. 2018 was his first year. So is it okay? Yeah, it's okay. Is it where we hoped it would be in year eight? No. I think the landscape has changed on Penny in ways that are beyond his control.
Right. I think and that's why we have to take that into account, as we said.
Like, yeah, like, I really do believe that when you're, I mean, Texas Tech is paying its athletes across all sports this year, $50 million. Okay. $50 million. That includes everything, but still. I don't think Memphis's athletic budget for the year is $50 million. It might be. Maybe it's past that.
Yeah,
now,
it is.
But,
it's more than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's the entire budget. Whatever. It's 80% of Memphis's budget for the year, okay? And when you know that.
No, we know that Memphis isn't going to get to $20 million for revenue share.
Right.
You know, maybe, whatever.
Yeah,
so if they're,
it's
they're
like,
14
like,
as opposed to 50. Yeah.
It's almost like. It's
I'm going
like,
on way too long, John. I just looked at the clock. I love talking
Let me bottom line one more thought. It's like rooting for a Major League Baseball team whose owners don't spend the money, right? So you can't really be that critical of the team because the owners don't or are not spending the money. You lament the system. You lament the enterprise. But, like, how can I be mad at the player? You know,
this is what
the owners spent.
All right. Thank you, yep. John. Appreciate it. I'll be listening 11 to 2. We got Chris Herndon coming up next. He's not going to be straight up at 10 o'clock, I'll be honest, because I'm late. We'll take a break. Back talk to Chris in a moment. Jeff Calkinshaw, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.